Linda. Well, once again, allow us to add, first of all, greetings and our gratitude to react with you. And before we begin, we would once again remind you that there exists that opportunity for you to enter into that altered state of consciousness, into that manifested state, and into that altered state of consciousness to participate in that silent communication or that telepathic interaction and that exchange of information. But once again, as always, of course, that choice is yours, absolutely. Now, this reality that you are experiencing in this particular incarnational period and in this so-called awakened consciousness state that you are involved in is illusionary. It doesn't mean it's insignificant. You see, to use many of those terms, like illusion, is to suggest that it is insignificant or that it's not really all that important in illusion. It's not the case at all. It's absolutely very significant, but nonetheless also an illusion. It's the most difficult state of consciousness for you to exist in. It requires the most amount of energy, and it is the most illusionary of all of the levels of consciousness that you're capable of experiencing. You understand absolutely that you cannot maintain this awake consciousness state, that you will sleep. You will alter your consciousness. And for some of you, you may choose to enter into a meditative state, that altered state of consciousness, where your body is asleep but your mind is awake, and you're quite aware of what it is that you're experiencing, and yet it could be an experience that's completely separated from what you experience in your awakened consciousness state. But nonetheless, more real than what you experience in your so-called awake consciousness state, and as well as your so-called dream state and the between incarnational state. At those levels of consciousness, you are much closer to the real reality than what you experience in your awakened consciousness state. You understand, once again, that you cannot sustain this awakened consciousness state. You will sleep, absolutely, and you will dream as well. In those dream states, you're interacting not only with other entities, but with other portions of that multidimensional personality that you are, with other incarnational periods that you're involved in. In that dream state, you are closer to the reality that's real, to the real reality, than you are in your so-called awakened consciousness state. And when you enter into what we refer to as the between incarnational state, when you die, in other words, you simply go one step beyond in a particular level of consciousness from the dream state. And once again, you're into a state that's much closer to the reality than what you experience in your awakened consciousness state. And you can accept that. Many of you even believe that that's the ultimate reality that you're going to experience. Many don't believe in your reincarnation. Many don't believe that you exist in other lifetimes, in other realities, that there's just this reality. And you understand again that you cannot sustain this reality in an awakened consciousness state, and yet can accept when you're in that between incarnational state, when you die, that that could be permanent. That could be an everlasting state, if you wish. In this vibrational level, in all your levels of consciousness, you exist within, once again, those limitations that you put in place, and you hold what we refer to as the human consciousness belief system, societal belief systems and individual belief systems. And it's a combination of those belief systems that result in the reality that you experience. That human consciousness belief system are beliefs that we like to refer to as similar to your so-called laws of physics, very difficult for you to change. And the primary belief system that's difficult for you to step outside of, if you wish, is your belief in time and space. Time and space are illusionary. They don't really exist other than you're in an awakened consciousness state, and once again, to varying degrees in your other levels of consciousness. And yet in your awakened consciousness state, they make it real. You go to great lengths to make it real. You were born into an incarnational period where you believe that you're entering into their incarnational period as an innocent entity, if you wish. You don't understand that you bring with you beliefs and belief systems that you put in place in your altered states of consciousness. You don't understand that you are a multidimensional personality who is existing in a multitude of incarnational periods in the same fashion, in the same time. Time and space are illusionary. It's difficult even to give you an explanation of how illusionary time and space is, because to use any terminology is to refer to time and space. If we, for example, express that you exist in the now, what is the now? The now is the time between your past and your present and your future. The now, you exist in the now. What's the now? You see, it still refers to your belief in time and space. It defies explanation, this time and space, and it is a very difficult one for you to step outside of, absolutely. And yet, it's an illusion. It doesn't really exist. And when you're in this illusionary, awakened consciousness state and believing in time and space, you believe that your so-called past is written in stone, that it's very difficult to change, and yet you believe that your future is within your capacity to influence and to alter, depending upon your choices and decisions, what it is that you desire, what it is that you believe, your thoughts and feelings. You believe that all of that can influence your future. You don't understand that it's an illusion, and that all of those particular thoughts and feelings and beliefs and attitudes and choices and decisions influence your past as well. It's an illusion. Time and space don't really exist. But you, in your awakened consciousness state, put that concept in place, that belief system, because it makes it more real. It makes it believe that many things are beyond your capacity to control. And as a result, once again, the emotions and feelings can be much stronger when you believe that you're not in control. And so time and space are illusionary. And so you exist as a multidimensional personality in a multitude of incarnational periods in the same time and same space. There's no difference, there's no separation other than what you experience in your awakened consciousness state, and once again to varying degrees in your altered states of consciousness. In your between incarnational state, you still operate with various limitations about this reality and the beliefs and belief systems. You still operate within a certain influence of the veil, if you wish, where your reality is not being influenced by others existing outside of your vibrational level. But it's in that altered state of consciousness, and we're going to refer once again to your belief in time and space in order to give an explanation that falls within your understanding. In that altered state of consciousness, when you die and you're in between incarnational periods before you are born again, you put in place beliefs and belief systems that you bring back into the next incarnational period. It's your choice. You choose. With the agreement of other individuals that you're involved with in that creation process, you put in place and agree to be involved in those circumstances. It becomes very difficult to accept when you see someone entering into an incarnational period where they are in an abusive situation, where they are in your awakened consciousness state, experiencing a very negative reality. It becomes very difficult to accept that you're responsible for that reality. Very difficult for you to accept that that child, that innocent individual, chooses to be involved in that reality. Put in place the beliefs and belief systems, agreed to participate. Put in place the choices and decisions in an altered state of consciousness to be involved in that type of a reality, which you in your awakened consciousness state would view as very negative, that individual perhaps is a victim. We would suggest that it doesn't matter what the situation is, that the individuals that are involved in that situation choose to be involved. At some level of the consciousness, He put in place the belief and belief system that's responsible for the reality that you experience without exception, including those so-called negative realities. You see, when an individual exists and continues to go through your evolutionary process in that so-called abusive situation where they are experiencing what you would refer to as being a victim, they choose to be involved in that reality. What you find difficult to understand as well is that when the individuals are involved in an abusive situation, what you would refer to as an abusive situation, that the victim is in control. It's the victim who chooses to end the situation. It's the victim who chooses to terminate that relationship. The victim refuses to be a victim. And when that occurs, the whole relationship ends. That victim and aggressor end. And it's the victim, once again, that's in control. Now, many individuals will look at circumstances where there's two individuals are involved in an abusive situation. And when the victim decides to end that situation, many times the victim may suffer as a result of the termination of that relationship. But nonetheless, it's the victim that decides. It's the victim that's in control. And if the victim chooses to believe that it's not possible for them to terminate that relationship without a negative experience, then that's what you create. The reality you experience is a reflection of the belief you hold. Now, what are the beliefs? That becomes very difficult. We've suggested in the past that to discover some of those beliefs that you hold with inside, that you're not familiar with, pay attention to your spontaneous attitudes. You see, beliefs and attitudes are a combination. When you hold a certain belief, it reflects an attitude. And if that's a positive attitude, then it influences positive thoughts and feelings, which result in choices and decisions that assist in creating the reality that you desire to experience as a positive reality, that you in your awakened consciousness state judge as being a positive reality. So pay attention to your attitudes, not the attitudes that you hold and think, well, if I hold that attitude, then that's the proper attitude, then my life is going to go well. Not necessarily. The belief is what controls your reality. The attitude is a reflection of the belief. And so when you're experiencing a spontaneous attitude that you look upon as being a negative attitude, pay attention. Don't say, I'm not supposed to, that's a negative attitude, I'm not supposed to have negative attitudes. Pay attention to the negative attitudes to determine what the belief system is that's responsible for that attitude. Change the belief, you will change the attitude. As opposed to simply, in your awakened consciousness state, thinking, oh, I'm not supposed to have that attitude, and so you try to put it away. You don't change the belief. And consequently, when you're involved in that same circumstance, which you create the opportunity to experience, that attitude comes back into play, and it's there again. And again, you try to put it away, instead of paying attention to the negative attitude for the opportunity to alter the belief system. To understand what it is that's responsible for the attitude in the first place. Pay attention to the spontaneous attitudes. It'll give you the opportunity to alter your belief or your belief systems. And consequently, alter the reality you experience in your awakened consciousness state. So many of these beliefs and belief systems are, once again, the human consciousness belief system that you agreed to participate in when you entered into this vibrational level. It's a consensus. The human consciousness is a consensus to sustain certain realities and certain beliefs and belief systems. You believe, for example, that it's necessary for you to consume certain elements in order for your physical being to continue to exist in this vibrational level in your awakened consciousness state. That's a human consciousness belief system, very difficult for you to step outside of. Human consciousness belief systems are fairly well set, if you wish, very difficult for you to alter. And then the societal belief systems, and he asks if you can understand that there are different societal belief systems throughout your earth system. We're not going to get into the societal belief systems. And then there are the individual belief systems. Ah, now there are individual belief systems that you can, many times, have an effect on. Not only can, but do. The difficulty is to understanding those individual belief systems, because you see, many of them are put in place in your between incarnational status. Where you choose, once again, to be involved with certain entities in certain situations. In your so-called Lemurian period, you understood that this is, reality was illusion. And it was quite easy for you to enter into or to leave this vibrational level, to have the opportunity to have the experience that you are creating in this vibrational level. The so-called veil was very thin at that time, and so it's very difficult for you to experience that intense range of emotions and feelings without the understanding that you were the creator in the first place. And so you alter it as a human consciousness. And again, we're using reference to your belief in time and space. Those particular realities exist within the same time and same space. However, once again, to utilize your belief in time and space, you entered into what we refer to as the Atlantean period. And in that first Atlantean period, it was possible as well for many entities to understand the reality that you experienced was a result of what your beliefs and belief systems were, and to alter it quite readily by altering consciously what your beliefs and belief systems were. And then you went through other Atlantean periods, three Atlantean periods, and in the third Atlantean period, you began to, if you wish to utilize the term, to thicken this veil, and to make it more difficult to understand who and what you truly were, and who and what you utilized to create the reality that you experienced. And you began to put in place many of the beliefs and belief systems in altered states of consciousness, where it was difficult in your awakened consciousness state to understand what those beliefs and belief systems were. And then you went through the Atlantean periods and you thickened the veil even to the point where in many of your so-called histories, in your other incarnational periods, you believe that the reality that you experience is based almost entirely on fate, that it's predetermined what it is that you're going to experience and very difficult for you to alter. You entered into a vibrational level. And you, in a particular incarnational period, experience realities that you put in place in your altered state of consciousness without the belief systems that you had the capacity at all to influence that reality consciously. You now, in this new age and new energy, however, have come closer to what we refer to as that third Atlantean period, where it's possible for you to influence your reality consciously. Even those realities and choices and decisions, the beliefs and belief systems that you put in place in your between incarnational state and that you have difficulty understanding in your awakened consciousness state. For example, you may, in your between incarnational periods, put in place the possibility that you would experience certain health issues in an incarnational period. And then, in that incarnational period, based upon your choices and decisions, based upon your thoughts and feelings, you activate, if you wish, and take that possibility that you chose as a belief system, and you turn it into a probability, and you create the reality to experience that particular disease that at one time was put in place in an altered state of consciousness as a possible belief system. But once again, because of your choices and decisions, thoughts and feelings, what it is that you choose to believe, what it is that you desire, what you expect, you alter that particular belief system from a possibility into a probability, and you experience it. You have in your so-called recent history, and again we're going to refer to your belief in time and space, come up with the concept of what you refer to as your DNA. In your DNA, your scientists are beginning to believe and to understand, stores these beliefs, these possibilities that you put in place, that you put in place, in that between incarnational state, when you chose certain beliefs and belief systems to bring into an incarnational period, and for the sake of an understanding that you can have in your so-called awakened consciousness state, you created this element that you refer to as your DNA. And stored within that DNA are these possibilities. And your scientists, when they first so-called discovered the DNA, believed that much of the DNA was a carryover, if you wish, from evolution. They refer to it as junk that has very little influence on what it is that you're experiencing in an incarnational period, in this particular incarnational period. However, they're beginning to understand that that so-called junk is not that at all, but it's an area that stores beliefs, choices, and decisions that you put in place in your between incarnational state. And based upon your choices and decisions, based upon your thoughts and feelings, you actually alter the energy that surrounds the DNA, and as a result of the alteration of that energy, you can take what was once a probability and turn it into a possibility. Or conversely, take a possibility and experience and reverse it and turn it back into a probability to be stored within the DNA and not experienced. Many of those health issues, when individuals alter that DNA and consequently alter the reality they experience, and they do so without seemingly any type of an explanation, you have a tendency to look upon that as some kind of a strange phenomena, and you refer to that as some kind of a miraculous experience that has occurred. It's the result of someone believing that they have the capacity to alter their reality, and as a consequence, they alter the energy that surrounds the DNA, and they reverse the process. You see, you in your awakened consciousness state believe that you have various types of aids that can help an individual with various health issues, medical circumstances. And you believe through the interaction of two individuals that one can assist the other in healing. And in some circumstances even believe that one has the capacity to heal another. It's an interaction where the patient is absolutely in control. It's similar to our expression that when two people are involved in what you refer to as an abusive situation, the victim is in control. And so it is in this interaction between your so-called doctor and your patient, the practitioner and the subject. It's the patient who's in control. It's the patient who decides whether or not the various treatments will assist and will actually have an effect on whatever health issue it is that they're dealing with. What do you believe? If you believe that there are certain chemical compounds that can assist and will cure, if you wish, this ailment that you're being involved in experiencing, then the reality you experience is a reflection of the belief you hold. If you believe that that can cure you, then absolutely it will cure you. Your reality, your choice, your belief. And if you believe that the doctor has the capacity to heal you, and the doctor believes they have the capacity to heal you, and at some level you agree to participate and to accomplish this type of reality, then you can have that. It's not right or wrong. It's how you correct your reality. And if you believe that there are certain other various techniques, utilizing whatever type of medical assistance that you determine to be feasible and that you accept as a possibility, that you believe will work, then it has that effect. The reality you experience is a reflection of the belief you hold. You create your reality. If there's an ailment that you're experiencing, it's your creation. If you believe that another can heal it, then absolutely be involved in that interaction. Experience the emotions and feelings that are result from that interaction. Understand that it's your choice, that it's your reality. that it's your creation, that you are responsible for what it is that you're experiencing. The validation of a belief or a belief system, many times put in place at a level of consciousness that you're not aware of. But in this new age and new energy, you have that capacity to influence it from your consciousness in a manner which has been very difficult for you to achieve in your so-called past, other than if you want to look upon your Lemurian and your first Atlantean periods that we refer to. Your reality, your beliefs and belief systems, your DNA, the energy that you are exists in each and every atom of your entire being. Every cell in your entire being contains that DNA. In your consciousness, the energy that you are exists in each and every cell. And you have the capacity to alter that energy that surrounds your DNA. And as a result, alter that DNA to turn it either from a possibility into a probability, or once again, conversely, from a probability into a possibility. Your belief, your choice, your decision. What do you desire? What do you expect? What do you believe? Now, if you have any questions, we would be willing to attempt to answer them for you.
Is it possible to jump in from when you so-called die into that body at that time?
It's such a very complicated understanding to give you a definite answer. What do you believe? It's an illusion. Now, in a near-death experience, you are, for all intents and purposes, altering your consciousness that one step beyond what we refer to as the deep dream state. It's really that simple. And you can have that experience without going through what you refer to as a near-death experience. It's possible for you to go within thought. It's possible for you to meditate and to reach that state. Now, when you're in that so-called near-death experience, and when you die, similar thing, what you experience is a validation of the belief that you hold. What do you believe? You see, many individuals in your reality believe in what you refer to as religious teachings, religious beliefs and belief systems. Religion primarily is a controlling situation. It's controlled by fear. There's this fear that you may be condemned to some type of an undesirable reality when you die. But there's also this promise that if you do everything right, that you can experience this wonderful reality. When you die, no one wants to experience the negative. Everyone that goes through what you refer to as a near-death experiences that promised utopia, if you wish. And it seems very exciting. Not everyone has that experience. It's those that are involved in and believe in, once again, your so-called religious teachers that have a tendency to have that experience. There are those who believe that when you die, it ends. It ends. The difficulty is that it doesn't end. And so when those individuals die and they experience a near-death what you refer to as a near-death experience, when they return many times, they will suggest when there was nothing there. Well, if there was nothing there and you were aware of nothing was there, then you had a conscious awareness. You didn't die. You validated the beliefs that you held. And it's very difficult to maintain and to sustain that belief and belief system in that state of consciousness. Very difficult, because you soon realize that it's simply a validation of a belief that you hold. And as you begin to have different thoughts and feelings, and you begin to alter beliefs in that level of consciousness, you begin to understand that you can alter the whole reality. And so it's difficult for that individual who believes that there is nothing to experience, and when they are in that altered state of consciousness, when they die, and they are experiencing that nothing, then they begin to realize, as they have a thought, that this is not exactly how it is. That what I'm experiencing is simply validating my beliefs. What do I believe? What would I like to experience? And consequently, those individuals who believe that they're going to enter into this ultimate utopia also go through the same experience. And it becomes difficult to sustain that illusionary reality, because you begin to really realize that it's simply a validation of a belief that you held in your so-called awakened consciousness state. And it begins to alter. And it begins to change. And you begin to come close to the understanding of who and what you truly are. And it becomes very exciting, because it's possible for you to put in place other choices and decisions for other realities that you can believe and experience. Now, do you believe that it's possible for an entity to enter into this entity existing within your earth system and come back with an entirely different personality? What do you believe? First of all, the consciousness that you are exists within each and every cell of your entire being. You have a tendency to believe that it's like in your mind, but it's not. It's in your entire being. And so when entities go through what you refer to as a near-death experience, they feel that energy, if you wish, to come from their entire physical being. And many times, exclusively almost, those entities have no desire to return to your so-called physical being. And another entity has no desire to enter into that type of a physical body. And so to suggest that there's entities that are simply waiting to re-inhabit another physical being, it simply makes very little sense in the terms that you understand at that level of consciousness of what the reality creation is, what it's possible for you to achieve. Many times when an entity, so-called, re-enters this physical being, their personality changes because they get a glimpse of the understanding of who and what they truly are. They get a glimpse that there's so much more that they don't understand that you experience in your awakened consciousness state. The irony of it is that you can go with inside and have that experience. It's available to each of you to have that experience. We take our friend alive into other levels of consciousness that you would have difficulty explaining in your so-called awakened consciousness state, to experience the understanding of how completely in control you are of this reality that you experience. We take our friend alive into other lifetimes, into other realities, into other vibrational levels, to give a glimpse of what that is. The same glimpse that you can experience through altering your consciousness and going with inside, or if you desire to create the reality of a near-death experience. You create the reality. It's not an accident. It's a validation of a belief or a belief system. You choose to be involved in that type of reality. To suggest that one would choose to re-enter an entity becomes a very difficult belief system to understand when you, at that level of consciousness, have the ability to create the reality you desire, and you begin to understand that you make the choices and decisions. You put in place the beliefs and belief systems that affect you genetically and in your DNA. You make the choices. Many times, once again, those individuals who come back from a near-death experience seem completely changed. And it's because they are aware what many of you might refer to as somehow awakened. The terminology evades us. We don't understand that term of awakened. It doesn't really make any sense in that you choose to limit your capacity to understand who and what you truly are. And so many times those individuals once again that return see like their personality has entirely changed because they become aware that there's so much more than what you experience in your awakened consciousness state. Your consciousness, your personality if you wish, your choices and decisions that influence what it is that you experience in a particular incarnational state is stored within your DNA. And many times when you go through what you refer to as transplant of your organs, you see personality changes in the individual that receives the organ because it carries with it that DNA. It carries with it that reflection of an individual's personality, if you wish, and consequently influences and interacts with and exchanges with that the DNA of the receiving person, and that receiving person can have tremendous alterations of their personality as a result of that interaction. And so it's an understanding of who and what you truly are that influences the alterations of the personality, not necessarily some entity choosing to suddenly finding, oh, here's an opportunity for me to enter into this physical being. There are a lot, unless you choose to believe, entities floating around in some spiritual type of state that are influencing or changing or having any type of desire to interfere in your reality creation process, unless you choose to desire and to create that particular type of the belief and belief system, your choice. Absolutely. You can have guides and angels if that's what you desire. It's your creation. You can, not only can, but do have whatever it is that you desire. If you wish to believe that it's possible to change your personality in an instant, you can do that. Absolutely. It's a belief, and it's a belief system. It's an illusion. That opportunity to have that experience exists within each of you. We've suggested many, many times that the answers that you seek are within inside. Go within inside. Learn to meditate and to maintain memory of what it was that you're experiencing and bring that back into your conscious state for an understanding closer understanding of who and what you truly are. You see, for you to bring into your awakened consciousness state a full understanding of all of the multidimensional personality that you are, you would need this vibrational level. You would be looked upon as someone who is completely insane, unable to function. It wouldn't make any sense. Then you would leave. Why would you continue to exist if you knew who and what you truly are? If you knew and took away that veil that limits your capacity to understand who and what you truly are and how it is that you create this reality, it would all make no sense to remain here. You're here because you don't understand who and what you truly are, and because of that lack of understanding you have that opportunity to experience the intense range of emotions and feelings. Even when it involves a near-death experience and the alteration of personalities that result from that experience, intense range of emotions and feelings without the understanding that it was your creation in the first place. Does that answer your question?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Overmore. If I may, okay, so my understanding is that when we so-called die, that we can get stuck on that other side, that we haven't totally become aware of or got through the veil. Mm-hmm. When do you get, am I correct in understanding that?
What do you believe?
Well, I was hearing what you were saying the last time.
When you enter into that state, in that between incarnation state, when you die, mm-hmm. you enter into that level. It's only one level, if you wish to use the terminology of level of consciousness. It's only one level below your so-called dream state, or one level removed from your dream state as opposed to below or above. Simply one different step, if you wish, from your dream state. However, you still, in that particular level of consciousness, are influenced by your beliefs and belief systems. But you don't get stuck there. In fact, it becomes very difficult for you to maintain these limiting beliefs that you hold in your awakened consciousness state. Because at that level, and it becomes difficult to give an explanation because you believe, once again, in time and space, that you can be stuck there. There is no time and space. It just is. And in that level of consciousness, you become aware that it's an illusion. You become aware that it's your creation. You become aware that if you believe that there's nothing there, and suddenly you have a thought or a belief and your reality changes, and oh, there is something here. Well, that's exactly what I'm thinking might be here. So what if I think about this? Oh, look at that, I can create that reality too. Or what if I think about another incarnational period? Oh, look at that, I can go there too. I can have whatever it is that I want to have in that incarnational period. I can choose to be a very wealthy individual born into a particular family that welcomes me, that gives me all of the trappings that one would look upon as being desirable in that awakened consciousness state. Or I can choose to be involved in some terrible, what you would in your awakened consciousness state view as a terrible situation where I'm involved in some type of abusive, warlike circumstances. I can choose that. I can have whatever. Imagine the feelings that I can experience when I go through this reality. And so you choose those realities. And you interact with others at that level of your consciousness, other individuals, entities, desiring to experience as well the emotions and feelings that result from that interaction with you. As you choose to experience the emotions and feelings that result from that interaction with those individuals, and you all agree, and it looks like a great thing to try, this is going to be fun, and you enter into it, and the spark of consciousness that you are rejoices in the creation process without judging whether it's right or wrong, good or bad, desirable or less than desirable. So you don't become stuck at that level. It's actually a freeing level, if you wish. And we've often said, as well, that it's at that level, if you choose to terminate existing within this vibrational level, you can leave. You're here by choice. You don't have any lessons to learn unless you believe that you have, but that will quickly fade when you enter into that between incarnational state and you begin to understand that that was as a result of your beliefs and your belief system. You can have lessons. You can think that you must somehow become enlightened. If that's what you choose to believe, go for it. It's not right or wrong. It allows you to experience those emotions and feelings that you came here for in the first place. So go for it, absolutely. There's no judgment from that spark of consciousness that you are. It gives to you that which you desire. So if you desire that you must go through some type of evolvement before you can leave this incarnational period, go for it. It's your choice. It's your reality. It's your creation. It's not necessary, but you can have it if that's what you desire. So you don't get stuck in that in-between incarnational period. Absolutely not. It's in that incarnation, that between incarnational period, that the veil, if you wish to utilize that term, is at its thinnest. It's in that particular incarnational period that you can choose what it is that you're about to experience in your so-called next incarnational period. And we continue to utilize, once again, your belief in time and space. It defies an explanation because it all exists simultaneously. Time and space are illusionary. They don't really exist. It's very difficult to explain. You can experience it, but you cannot explain it.
So then, can you, when you go there, if I'm hearing correctly, you realize that you can have an experience the same as we do, and be aware of it?
In our reality, we create reality similar to what you create. The process that you utilize to create your reality, we utilize the same process to create. The reality we experience is a reflection of our belief system. We hold a belief, we wish to have an experience, we experience. The difference is, we understand that it's all creation. We understand that it's an illusion. Once again, it's like you're entering a theater. And it's quite enjoyable. But you understand that it's an illusion. The only reality that we experience that gives us that feeling of not being the illusionary is our understanding that we create our reality from a position of absolute unconditional love. The element that you had such a difficult time understanding in your awakened consciousness state because you choose to limit your capacity to have that understanding is the one that we exist within, if you wish. And for us, we understand the illusion. We create it, absolutely. But again, to use that analogy, it's like you're entering into a theater. With us, the emotion, the feeling that continues to expand and to grow is our understanding of absolute unconditional love, which is who and what you truly are. You choose to hide from that understanding for the capacity and the opportunity to experience a reality that you in your awakened consciousness state and through various other levels of consciousness believe that you are not in control of. And consequently, the intensity of the emotions and feelings is much more than what it is when you understand absolutely that you are in control. It's rather ironic, as we have suggested many times, that you choose to hide from that understanding and then spend a huge amount of effort trying to get it back.
Why would I do this?
Why would you enter into this vibration? Yeah. We have suggested many times we have no desire. We are quite comfortable with what we experience with our friend Elias as we share our emotions with Elias's emotions. That's enough. We get a sense of that intense range of emotions and feelings. And as we have suggested before, we have no desire to exist within your vibrational level. And in fact, we have a difficulty understanding why the hell you would choose to be involved in this vibrational level, despite the fact that we're fascinated by it. And we appreciate the opportunity to interact with the astral view. Nonetheless, we have difficulty in understanding other than that capacity to understand and to experience that intense range of emotions and feelings, we have a difficulty understanding why you would choose to be here. You choose to be here. You create it all. You can leave at any time. Time and space are illusionary. It's so simple. You are the God you search for. You create your reality based upon a validation of your beliefs and belief systems, and you cannot fail to come to that understanding. Everything else within this reality that you experience is within your capacity to alter and to manipulate and to create. The only limitation to your creation process is your imagination. It's an illusion that you believe is real. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Well now, it has once again been a very enjoyable interaction, and we would express our gratitude once again for us. It is a learning experience as well, and we welcome these opportunities to interact and to share with the astral view. We ask you once again to understand that we simply express to you that which you already know. To think and to believe that we somehow have access to knowledge which is not available to the astral view is ludicrous. You have but to go with inside. The answers you seek are with inside the astral view. You will not find it written in a book or by attending seminars or sitting listening to entities like us attempting to explain to you that which you know better of than we do. Go with inside. The answers you seek are within inside each of you. And so once again, we would suggest that should you choose to interact with us, we would welcome that opportunity and to remind you that we are separated by a vibrational level as opposed to time and space. And so once again, thank you for the interaction. will be the act of you farewell with love and with peace.